The last industry that I shall discuss is the seafood industry, marine fisheries, which faces the same fundamental problem as do the oil, mining, and timber industries, rising world population and affluence leading to increasing demand for decreasing supplies. While seafood consumption is high and rising in the first world, it is even higher and rising faster elsewhere. Fish now account for 40% of all protein consumed in the third world, and are the main animal protein source for over 1 billion Asians. Worldwide population shifts from the interior toward the coast within countries will increase the demand for seafood, because 3/4 of the world's population will be living within 50 miles of the seacoast by the year 2010. The sea provides jobs and income for 200 million people around the world. While any renewable biological resource poses difficult management problems, marine fisheries are especially hard to manage. Studies suggest that, with proper management, the world's seafood catch could be sustained at a level even higher than its present level. Sadly, though, the great majority of the world's commercially important marine fisheries have already either collapsed to the point of being commercially extinct, are currently overfished or fished to the limit, are recovering only slowly from past overfishing, or are otherwise in urgent need of management. Among the most important fisheries that have already collapsed are Atlantic halibut, Atlantic bluefin tuna, Atlantic swordfish, North Sea herring, Grand Banks cod, Argentinian hake, and Australian Murray River cod. The main reasons behind all these failures are the tragedy of the commons, the widespread lack of effective management and regulation, and so-called perverse subsidies, that is, the economically senseless subsidies that many governments pay to support fishing fleets that are too large in relation to their fish stocks and that yield too low profits to survive without the subsidies. The damage caused by overfishing extends beyond the future prospects of all of us to eat seafood and beyond the survival of the particular fish or seafood stocks that we harvest. Most seafood is captured by methods that result in our hauling in unwanted animals besides those actually sought. Those other animals, referred to as bycatch, constitute a proportion varying between 1/4 and 2/3 of the total catch. In most cases, the bycatch dies and is thrown back overboard. Included in the bycatch are unwanted fish species, juveniles of the targeted fish species, seals, dolphins and whales, sharks and sea turtles. Yet bycatch mortality is not inevitable. For example, recent changes in fishing gear and practices reduced dolphin mortality in the eastern Pacific tuna fishery by a factor of 50. There is also heavy damage to marine habitats, notably to the seabed by trawlers and to coral reefs by dynamite and cyanide fishing. All of these problems trouble not only economists and environmentalists, but also some leaders of the seafood industry itself. Among the latter were executives of Unilever, one of the world's largest buyers of frozen fish. The executives became concerned that fish were in steep decline throughout the world. Hence, in 1997, 4 years after the establishment of the FSC, Unilever teamed up with World Wildlife Fund to found a similar organization termed the Marine Stewardship Council. Its goal was to offer credible eco-labeling to consumers and to encourage fishermen to solve their own tragedies of the commons by the positive incentive of market appeal rather than by the negative incentive of threatened boycotts. Other companies and foundations, plus international agencies, have now joined Unilever and World Wildlife Fund in funding the MSC. In Britain, the companies besides Unilever that support the MSC or buy its certified seafood products include Young's Bluecrest Seafood Company, Sainsbury's, Marks & Spencer, and Safeway. U.S. supporters include Whole Foods, plus Shaw's Supermarkets and Trader Joe's Markets. The criteria that the MSC applies to fisheries were developed in consultation between fishermen, fisheries managers, seafood processors, retailers, fishery scientists, and environmental groups. The principal criteria are that the fishery should maintain its fish stocks' health for the indefinite future, should yield a sustainable harvest, should maintain ecosystem integrity, should minimize impacts on marine habitats and on non-targeted species, should have rules and procedures for managing stocks and minimizing impacts, and should comply with prevailing laws. The essence of the MSC, as of the FSC, is independent third-party certification. Application for certification is completely voluntary. What gets certified is a fishery or a fish stock, and the fishing method, practice, or gear used to harvest that stock. The entities seeking certification are collectives of fishermen, government fisheries departments acting on behalf of a national or local fishery, and intermediate processors and distributors. Of the 7 fisheries certified to date, the largest is the wild salmon fishery of Alaska. The next largest are Western Australian rock lobster and New Zealand hoki. The other 4 are smaller ones in Britain: Thames herring, Cornwall mackerel caught by handline, Bury Inlet cockles, and Loch Tord and nephrops. Pending accreditation are Alaska pollock, the largest fishery in the U.S., U.S. West Coast halibut, Dungeness crab, and spotted prawn, U.S. East Coast striped bass, and Baja California lobster. Plans are also underway to extend certification from wild-caught fish to aquaculture operations, beginning with shrimp and proceeding to 10 other species, including perhaps salmon.